Translation purported by Sri Vanga Srila Prabhupada. My dear sister Devaki, all good fortune unto you. Everyone suffers and enjoys the result of his own work under the control of providence. Therefore, although your sons have unfortunately been killed by me, please do not lament for them. Speaking like a scholar, right? Kamsa? Amazing. Sometimes we go and preach. We devotees go and preach when somebody passes away. We go to the funeral ceremony and we do that. We address people. Don't say, you're not this body. So as a priest and as a devotee. Let's see. Purport by Sri Vanga Srila Prabhupada. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.54, Yastu Indriya Gopam Athavindram Ahoswa Karma Bandhanu Rupa Phala Bhajanam Atanoti Karmani Indriya Karmani Niradahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam Govindam Aripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. We used to recite this Samhita some years ago, every morning in our room when I was just a new bhakta. It was beautiful. Everybody know Mahatma Prabhu? Mahatma Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, he made that Brahma Samhita CD and Sri Upanishad. So beautiful. Translation of this verse from Brahma Samhita. Everyone, beginning from the small insect known as Indra Gopa, up to Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, is obliged to undergo the result of his fruitive activities. We may superficially see that one is suffering or enjoying because of some external causes. But the real cause is one's own fruitive activities. Even when someone kills someone else, it is to be understood that the person who was killed met the fruitive result of his own work, and that the man who killed him acted as an agent of material nature. Thus, Kamsa begged Devaki's pardon by analyzing the matter deeply. It was not the cause of the death of Devaki's sons. Rather, this was their own destiny. Under the circumstances, Devaki should excuse Kamsa and forget his past deeds without lamentation. Kamsa admitted his own fault, but whatever he had done was under the control of providence. Kamsa might have been the immediate cause of the death of Devaki's sons, but the remote cause was their past deeds. This was an actual fact. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyanandala Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Yena Tasmai Sigurve Namaha Krishnaika Chaita Madamoha Vinashakarim Madhiskada Prabhupada Swami Dusavidhi Marinda Madhimundivadimin Chansan Chindayami Sanchintayami Charano Tau Bhakti Hetu Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Sigadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. Tasmat Badre Swa Tanayan Maya Vyabhatitan Api Manusocha Yata Sarvaha Swakritam Bindate Swaha Vasaha. Translation again. My dear sister Devaki, all good fortune unto you. Everyone suffers and enjoys the result of his own work under the control of providence. Therefore, although your sons have unfortunately been killed by me, please do not lament for them. Hare Krishna. When a devotee goes through pain, it's not easy for a devotee to go actually face the materialist, I would say, those who are engrossed in activities in the material world who actually fail to recognize a devotee. So some have pleasure when they inflict pains on others. Some kind of power. One has the power to dominate others to make that person superior. Unlike a devotee, later on we can speak about Vasudev Datta, whose appearance here today, how para dukha dukhi, a devotee can't see the living entity suffer. When they suffer, he actually, you know, he or she, they actually feel the suffering, that they can't see their living entity suffer in the material world. And like the non-devotee, who think that they are the controller of everything, somehow or they gain some power of wealth, name, fame, position in the material world. So they think they are the controllers. Failing to understand that the individuality of the person is so small that we realize that when we're flying on a plane, you see how you see the houses. I was just, when I came here, I was just looking through the window of the plane. You see how those houses are like small matchboxes, right? Small, tiny boxes. And in those boxes, we have this human beings, people staying. And in those yantras, you know, yantras or vehicles or bodies, as you say, that we have this soul who is so small that we can't even see. So that's the individuality of the living entities, that they are so infinitesimal, that actually they're so small that we can't see them. So what's why we have to be so proud because of our identity, ourselves, to be, that we are very proud to be so small. And not only that, being small, and we are also temporary. I mean, the body that we are proud of is temporary. I'm not talking about soul, I'm talking about the body, the covering. It's so, it's temporary. Maya mama evam so jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana. We are eternal, fragmental, part and parcel of Krishna. That's referring to the spiritual soul that residing within the body. But in material world, unfortunately, they actually, some people refer the identity as a body, but not the owner of the body or the one who resides within the body. And then this body that's made of Bhumi Aponoloyo Kam, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then gross material elements, which will, at the time of death, all these elements would dissolve and mix with other elements in the material world. And then what remains is Man Buddhi Ahankar and the Atma, with this, which is the subtle body. And out of the subtle body, the smallest is the ego, the ahankar. But how powerful the ahankar is. It's powerful, right? The ego is so powerful. Despite being so small out of those subtle elements, man, buddhi, ahankar, but it's the ego. We're so controlled by that so small elements. To the extent, what you speak of a non-devotee, of being a devotee, that ego is still controlled sometimes. When the ego takes control of a devotee, it's a disaster. It's really caused a lot of damages. So I don't want to go away from the topic, but it's good to just touch up a little bit. The ego. The ego We are talking about the Varnashram. Yes, well, yesterday, right? Maharaj was speaking about this. So, Brahmacharya, the ashram Brahmacharya, Grihastha Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, the ultimate stage to be a sannyas, you renounce order of life. So, to renounce everything, we did that. We actually, when I joined the movement, the day I joined the movement in the morning, so I decide to shave immediately, to shave my head. So devotee said, no, you should wait. Maybe you change your mind, you want to go back home. So you shouldn't shave up. You should wait. So now I've decided that I have to shave up. It was in the morning and Sunday, quite a long time ago. I don't want decades. So he said, you must shave up. No, I said, I want to shave. So my understanding was shaving up means renouncing everything, that I became that higher level of renunciation, that when I shave my head, and then I have reached that stage, you know, that higher level, because I'll see the devotee shave up and dancing in ecstasy, and you're like, you're not even touching the ground. I said, I just want to be one of them, to have this happiness, joy that's really I never experienced before. So for me, my understanding was shaving head means attaining the perfection, that I am there, I am one of them. So, but shaving, that's another story, because a devotee who shaved my head, it was like a Mahabharat. When I finished off shaving, there was blood pouring everywhere on my head. So he told me he shaved the sannyasis, you know, the gurus. I said, oh, he must be a pro. So that was another. It was terrible. Anyway, but the feelings was really amazing, because I felt, you know, it's amazing. I never felt like that before, shaving head. But I thought that's my ultimate perfection, to be like I am renounced already. So my point I was making, that you can renounce, you can shave your head, you wear saffron, or you carry a stick, a danda, making your vow, and you have in your palm, your hand, this vow you made with a stick. But how much really we are controlling that ego that actually causes a lot of problem? Because of the ego, Kamsa think he's a controller. He's all right. The demon, we say, oh, okay. We always write to him when you preach. We say, oh, he's a karmi. Don't worry about him. So immediately we come to, oh, he's a karmi. We categorize this person. He's a non-devotee. If he's not in his con, he's a karmi. You know. So he's a karmi. I'm you know, elevated soul. That good regards, you know. Adho sadata tasadu sangha tad bhajana kriya tonintari nistaruchi. Bhava prem. So these stages we learn over the years, that we have adhoshada, the faith bring me to the Krishna consciousness. But what comes before that? Okay, it's an open question. Adhoshada. We know adhoshada with the faith bring me to Krishna consciousness. What's before adhoshada? Okay, adhoshada, tata sadhu sangha come after that. Okay, that was good, but I'm looking for something. Before adhoshada, before the faith that we have, we actually join and we have to be attracted to Krishna. What's before adhoshada? Before shraddha? Maharaji? Sukriti. Yes, okay. All right, that's a good answer. But I'm looking at something else. Prabhupada said, okay, Sukriti was. Prabhupada said, no, that was not the answer. But that's good. But Sukriti, is that like, we think, I thought, no, I'm thinking, you know, my good deeds that I came to ISKCON and I've built up this. That's what we learn, that we, because our pious previous activities, previous years that we cultivated, then we have had the opportunity to be in Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan Yagya. And that's a good answer. That's what I'm looking for, something like good regards. Kripa, the mercy, okay. That's part of that adhosarata tasadunga, that mercy of the body, we actually advance. That's Prabhupada said, you know, there's no Sukriti. Prabhupada asked the devotee, what's brought to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, you say, Krishna, Prabhupada, my good deeds that I came in touch with you and I took shelter of your lotus feet. Prabhupada said, you had none. Prabhupada said, you had none. I have created it for you. So that's kripa also, mercy of devotees. That's a good answer. I'm looking for something like good regards. The same thing called good regards. Have a good regards. For the first time when I saw a devotee, I never had faith in them. I said, they have maybe taken drugs. It's not possible that one dancing have be so happy and jumping and dancing 24 hours and shave the head, put the bed sheet around them and walk in the public and then be so happy, content, amazing. So when I was still school and then I was with my friend, I was just a devotee, so happy, it's amazing. Where the happiness come from? My friend said, oh, that's obvious, drug. Then my friend tell me, that's drug. It's not possible that somebody be so happy. Huh? We know money, women, see the things that we need in the material world to get happy. To happiness, But, come on. It's not possible. It must be drug. So I didn't have faith because actually I attracted to the world. But, the good regards. I have a good regard to it before. I was attracted to the devotee. So our behavior, sadachar, to become, you practice what you preach. You behave properly. That's what you attract other people to become a devotee. Then they have faith after that. Then they continue from that stage. So we come to the point of the false ego I was talking about. We can renounce all that. Our garb. My mom told me when I shave, my mom say, you left home, but you still have to shave your head. I had hair like this on my top of my shoulder. So, some cried and when I shaved. But anyway, I was ecstatic with it. When I shaved. I felt really amazing. So, when I shaved, said, no, why do you have to shave your head? You leave home, you leave your family, and you move in a temple, and you shave your head. What's hair got to do with that? My mom's argument was that. So, I was saying, renounce all that. There was a sannyasi. You will go madhukari. You will go house to house begging. I'll tell you, that's the best way to understand what I'm trying to tell. So he became a sannyasi. So with his saffron robe and he with a stick and he would go house to house and he begs. Whatever he gets, he eats. You don't get anything, he's tough. That was the way he would lead his life. So every time when he go house to house, and then there's one house, he always skip. One house, he always skip. Okay, we want to do Sangeetan, we skip the poor people, and we go to the palace and collect money. Okay, you shouldn't do that. So devotee do Sangeetan house to house, they go to the big house, because the big house got more money. What the poor people can give me, because I'm selling books. So I skip the poor people's house, the huts, small kapan, small huts. People have not beautiful house. We go house to house. We go to the rich people. Now the Sangeetan became more exciting. We don't go house to house even. We phone them. We call them and we go to the house and we give them their goods and we take the money. We come home. We did 4 people for the day. Sangeetan is done. Money is collected. Okay. Wait, no kisses. Please don't take offense. I'm just telling you that time. Then go house to house. And that this sannyasi was going house to house. He always skip one house. That's a big mansion. He will always skip. But he's not going to the big house. He has renounced. Yeah, maybe that's it. So he will skip that house. But that landlord for the house, he will be on the balcony. But often he will see the sannyasi walking past, but he will never come to him. So he will think, okay, he think I'm too materialist. That's why he's not coming to me. Because... we preach that we have to avoid people who are attached to wealth and this and women and all that. So he's thinking that way. We avoid my house. Maybe he don't want to come to my house because I'm so engrossed in my material activities and wealth. So one day, when he was walking past this house, it was raining. When it was raining, he had no choice but to go against the wall and he just wait for the rain to stop. So the landlord, he saw the sannyasi, a devotee there, so he came down in the rain and told the sannyasi, please come inside. please at least come till the rain. I know you don't like coming to my place because I saw you a few times going, walking past. But please still come inside till the rain stopped, then you can go. So he didn't want to go. Reluctantly, he said, okay, fine. He went inside, you know, to wait for the rain to stop. Then he offered a place to sit and some water, and, you know, you don't want to take anything. He said, no, I will just wait for the... He just stood there, he was just standing, and he's just waiting for the rain to stop and go. So he didn't preach anything, he wouldn't spoke about Krishna, he didn't speak anything. So the landlord was curious, what did I do to you? What did I do to you? Because don't take offense, I just want to know. I'm curious to know that why you always walk past my house and you will never come to my place. So he said, yes, I don't know how to say it. And then he said, okay, fine, I have to tell you, you know. He said, before I became a sannyasi, I was a landlord. I was a landlord, but I was not so rich like you are. I was a landlord, but I was a smaller landlord. But you were always a competition for me. So he hated him that time. He hates him till now. So he hated him that time because he was a landlord, more wealthy. Though he became a sannyasi, renounced, but he still had this hatred that he never liked him. So what did we renounce? We renounced to hair, we renounced to garb, we renounced everything. But that hatred, the ego, that, you know, why should I go to him? I'm also a landlord. I was a landlord, how should I go to him? It's like bowing down to somebody and make yourself small. But humility make yourself small. You know, humility make you small. Now, if you become humble, you make me small. But to become humble is make you bigger. How he advanced devotee? Advanced devotee has to preach. If he thinks he's too advanced, he's a devotee and no one else is a devotee. Then he comes to that. He has to come to the lower state. Yeah, he has to come to Madhyama. The Uttama come to Madhyama Adhikari. Then you can preach properly. Then you come down, and then. You seen the picture that Prabhupada always speak about, the picture of Vishnu on Garuda. You know this picture in Bhagavatam where Vishnu on Garuda doing his hand like that, and a devotee with his shaved head and doing his hand and you know, pulling it out of the ocean, from the ocean of this material world, and pulling him up to the spiritual platform, spiritual world. So if we don't do that, it come to a lower stage, and then we won't be able to help someone to come up. So I'm saying that, come to this verse that how Kamsa think, you want to apologize to Devaki that actually, please forgive me. It was it's not me doing it, all this sin of killing all your sons. It was not me, but actually I was forced, was higher, you know, forced to do it. Please forgive me. But one thing to understand, by killing the sons of Devaki, he was coming closer to his death. Yeah? He was coming closer to his death. So the quicker, you know, it's like understanding is that philosophically that actually Krishna resides in a very clean place. So all these bad qualities represented somehow or other in the scripture, that those sons were like all this, you know, kam, lob, moh, man, matsar, all this unfit qualities that's been cleansed. Hare Krishna. That actually Krishna doesn't reside in a place where it's not clean. So it was just cleaning the place, and Balaram eventually, the son of Rohini, who became the son of Rohini eventually, actually was Balaram expand himself in a different form and shape to serve Krishna. So the place was ready for Krishna to come. But the other way, it's like Kamsa actually doing all this activities was coming closer to his death. All right. What, how much time we have? Now is... Okay, we are at 5 minutes more. We got 15 minutes more. Yes, thank you. All right. So really, maybe we take some comments, and please, I'd like to hear from you. Comments or question, if you have, then we can speak a little bit of maybe about Snan Yatra and Vasudeva Datta for 5-10 minutes. Or we just go to Vasudeva Datta and Snan Yatra a little bit. No question? You're so brilliant. Hare Krishna, you're so merciful. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So next verse will be 22. Next time. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. My apologies, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Sakshi Gopal Das. I'm a disciple of Bhaktichara Swami. In fact, the first disciple of Bhaktichara Maharaj in Mauritius. Hey, I'm so proud, right? Pride, they can kill. Actually, you know, I was speaking to Maharaj, and Maharaj was introducing me to someone, and then, oh, Sakshi Gopal is my disciple. They said, in Mauritius. Then he said, no, he's my first disciple in Mauritius. Right. So, anyways, Maharaj is so merciful. All right, let's go to Vasudeva Datta. Okay, how many of you know Vasudeva Datta? I read about Vasudeva Datta. I know you read, you're not going to tell me, but still, I just want to know Vasudeva Datta. Hare Krishna. Vasudeva Datta actually represents the compassion of Vaishnavas. He's like compassion personified. And then two brothers, Mukunda and then Vasudeva, they were like so beautiful singers, very well off. And very well off. Imagine, very well off, you know, right? Very, everything must be excellently presented. Beautiful, nice prasad for Vaishnavas. Devotees taken care of. He would just make sure that he will give without hesitating. And have deities really spoil and with his wealth. And he was going overboard with all that. Then Mahaprabhu said, you need to be controlled. So he need to be controlled. So he told Sivananda Sen, please, you monitor his wealth, monitor the way he spends, and just keep an eye on him, and like become his counselor or something like that. Sivananda Sen. That Sivananda Sen, you know, very close to Mahaprabhu, and then later we can speak a little bit about Sivananda Sen, who was the head. And when Mahaprabhu will leave Bengal every year, Mahaprabhu will go to... Mahaprabhu was in Puri at that time. Then Sivananda Sen from Bengal, who will arrange groups and to visit Mahaprabhu and have darshan of Jagannath. Sivananda Sen's job was to arrange accommodation for the devotees and make sure they're taken care of. We sometimes neglect that. So make devotees feel comfortable, and Sivananda Sen was doing that. So Mahaprabhu told, okay, you keep an eye on Vasudeva Datta and then just be with him and help him out. So Vasudev Dattai was the ninth from Mahaprabhu. He was the ninth group, that group from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's branch. He was a great personality. And then he actually, in Puri, in Jagannath Puri, when he was there, he actually told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I can't see the living entities suffering like this. Please, I want to take all their sin. I want to take all their sin. Let me suffer for them. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had tears in his eyes, and then Sri Mahaprabhu said, no, just because of you just saying that, just because of you saying that, it's coming from your heart. Krishna understands, and then don't worry that they won't suffer. So, you know, Sangitan Yagya are actually helping people out to how to get love of God so easily given to them through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sangitana Yagya. There's not so much sacrifice required, and so easily given and freely given. Imagine from something so valuable and given free, we may take it for granted, but that this is the only thing that we need in our life to perfect it and reach our ultimate destination, that we belong where we belong. You know, that Krishna, you know, to belong to Krishna and be eternal servant of Krishna. That Vasudev, Mahaprabhu told Vasudev that, don't worry about that. That will be taken care of. And then talking about Puri, so immediately we can come to that. In Jagannath Puri, so they have, I was saying, where Sivananda Sen were arranged accommodation for the devotees in Puri. And every year. So then one day, I think very important that I mentioned. So Sivananda Sen will ask question. He asked the same question 3 years in a row. So when Mahaprabhu would address all the devotees from Bengal and the local devotee, then Mahaprabhu would ask questions. Anyone has anything to, you know, please ask me or say something. Mahaprabhu want to hear about from devotees. And then Sivananda Sen asked a question, who is actually a devotee of Krishna? Which is a very simple question, not a hard question. The Sivananda Sen would ask, he asked a question, who is a devotee of Krishna? Mahaprabhu said, all right, the devotee of Krishna who chant Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One who chant Hare Krishna is a devotee of Krishna. Right? Then the following year, Sivananda Sen asked the same question. Who is actually a devotee of Krishna? So Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu being the Krishna himself, you know, and so understood and remember the same question asked. So Mahaprabhu said, the one who chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, all the time he's a devotee of Krishna. It's the same question, same answer, in a slightly different way. So Sivananda Sen asked the same question in the third year again. Please tell me who is a devotee of Krishna. He said, a devotee of Krishna is the one who chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and who make others chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He is a devotee of Krishna. So one who chant Hare Krishna mantra, who chant Hare Krishna mantra all the time, one who chant Hare Krishna mantra all the time and make others chant Hare Krishna Maha mantra, make the other devotee, he is a first class devotee of Krishna. So if you really think that when we go Harinam, we make people chant in the public Hare Krishna one time, he is a devotee of Krishna. Yeah? So Excellent, right? It's very good. It's simple and to the point that Mahaprabhu told Vasudev Datta, please don't, this will be taken care of. Everybody will have the chance to chant Hare Krishna mantra. And Srila Prabhupada made it possible. I'm going to speak a little bit of Snan Yatra link following to this one. So it made it possible to people to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then he said, okay, have Jagannath leaving the temple and go outside on the road. Let people see the Lord and make them chant Hare Krishna without any rules and regulation. And just expose and let them, give them the chant of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then see devotees in a garbs dressed as a Vaishnava. And see them and then, you know, awaken the love of Krishna from that Hare Krishna Prabhu. We like to welcome Sitaram Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Big Hare Bol for Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Everybody knows Sitaram Prabhu? From Australia, or Tamil President in Perth. There, Prabhu. Nice to see you. It's like my desire is fulfilled. Spoke to you the other day and I have darshan of you. Hare Krishna. So have Rath Yatra, not in a small way, but in a big way. In a big way. How many of you who've been to Rath Yatra in South Africa? How many of you? Oh, Hare Krishna. You know how big it is there, right? In South Africa, I'm from there. I'm based in South Africa. I'm born in Mauritius, but brought up. I moved to South Africa for some time. I stayed in the temple over almost 10 years, then as a brahmachari. Then Maharaj said, I should move out as a grihastha. So with the mercy of Maharaj, Maharaj didn't want the temple to maintain me as a grihastha. He said, grihastha should be independent and not maintained by the temple. Anyway, unless you're doing service in the temple, otherwise you're not allowed to stay. You serve in the temple, then you stay. If you stay in the temple to have prasad, eat, sleep, and then go and work outside, then you're not allowed. But anyway, I don't know how the management work here, but no offense again. So, but all the point is, Maharaj said, okay, grihastha should be independent, and you stay in the temple, you do a lot of service. So, then I moved to South Africa. Then I'm part of the organizing, not the head of organization, but I'm part of the festival organized. Then I'm also, so this year we had 50 tents. 50 tents. Wow, I didn't hear that. Okay, 50 tents, come on. We have two stages. One stage can receive, the tent can receive over 2,000 people. The other one is the open stage. So we had get up to 175,000 people, plate of prasadam, 50 stages, chariot. So this festival costs a lot of Lakshmi, but it's the biggest festival, and we enjoy it, devotee look forward. And we have over 40 Namhattas in South Africa. And then Namhattas, they cook the feast, they raise the fund. They cook the feast for the festival, they raise the fund. Temple don't do anything. So this is the way to do it. So I was doing that in Mauritius, you know, organized festival. I was acting as a management in there. I don't want to tell you my rank. But I was serving there, the Yatra. And then I make sure, and then the Namhatta congregation will cook and raise the fund, make the feast. And there are times they didn't have the cook, I will go and do the feast. I'll cook the feast. So I was talking about Rath Yatra festival, that the mercy came out and everybody had the opportunity to see and chant and get purified and become devotees like that. And then the Rath Yatra, we do in big time and 50 tents and 50, two main stages, two big tents and 48 small tents. And we have a Jagannath temple on the site, with the Jagannath deities and a Jagannath, proper Jagannath temple, like glass windows and that when you open, you go inside, it's like really a temple. And a non-stop distribution of prasad from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock night. 4 days festival, prasad from 10 o'clock to 10 o'clock night. Non-stop distribution of prasad. Non-stop means really not only khichdi, but biryani, dal, halwa, juice. Non-stop prasad. And then we're doing that, and then Indaduma Swami Maharaj was the one of the key person, and he's a main man. He actually did it big time there. He is our festival man, Indaduma Swami. So he actually made it big. Somehow or other, Champakalata is here. She's actually the PR of I cannot tell about me, but Champakalata, she's the PR of the whole of South Africa, PR person of whole of South Africa. And she's a stage program organizer and program organizer for Jagannath Festival and other big festival that takes place in South Africa. So, yes, the Snan Yatra, I was talking, is big time. Yeah? It's big. So, see, that's a bathing ceremony of Jagannath. He said, you know what, you arranged the first class bathing ceremony. And then for Snan Yatra, they use over 108 pots of liquid. Over 108 pots of liquid for the Abhishek of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani. And there's a procession that takes place when the deities leave the temple and go outside and then go to the place, a bedi, you call it, where there's the bedi with the tent where the snan take place, the bathing ceremony take place, and then there's a procession, and over 108 pots of liquids used for the Abhishek of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Maharani. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki. So, that's why I sang this morning about Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. I'm a little bit off while singing Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. The deities are in Soho. So I'd like to thank you, all of you, for being so kind and patient with me. And then if you have any questions or comments, please.